is someone, but I'm only introducing him to maybe 20 people. The rest of you, who knows this guy? Hendrik is a good friend, and he used to be on staff here at Shofar Hermanus for many years. How many years? 8, 9, 7 years. He broke open so many avenues, so many fountains in this congregation, and a lot of our momentum is still because of the work Hendrik has put in. Through all the generations in the church, from the youth to the counseling area to the worship team, and it's just so awesome to have you back. So for those who don't know him, he put up his hand to take over a church that needed a pastor in Malmesbury. And so from us, we laid our hands on him, blessed him, wanted to keep him, but released him to go to Malmesbury. And they're doing so well over there. And it's just an honor for us to just have you back here and just to have some of the juice that the Lord has placed in you poured out over us. Let's quickly put out our hands and let's just pray for Hendrik this morning. Lord, we just want to bless Hendrik, Tabitha, Matthew, and Johnny, the whole family. We just bless them, Lord, for everything they've done, every seed they've sown here. But we also bless them in their going. We bless Shofar Malmesbury. We pray, Lord, that every effort, every prayer, every action they take in your name will bear fruit. But this morning, we receive Hendrik as a gift for us. This morning, we are selfish. We want to learn from him. We want to draw from what you have placed into him. We accept him as your word unto us this morning. As a prophet, we receive the prophet in the name of a prophet, and we pray that you'll bless us. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. So, thank you, Varys, for making me feel like that. I just want to, first of all, disclaimer, say that I was part of a team that did all that stuff. Okay, just to clarify all of that. I just want to say thank you to everyone who serves in this church. Can we just celebrate everyone who serves in this church? There are many people. There are many people that serve and make things happen the way they are, that you all experience the wonderful, tangible presence of the Lord. And yes, the Lord gives us his presence and we get to experience it. But these guys make sure that no human distractions happen at the back. So I just want to honor this house. And for those of you that did put up your hands as a new visitor here today, I want to say welcome and encourage you. And those of you that have done that throughout the year, you are at the right place. You are at the right place. This is a house where you grow. This is a house where you get to know the Lord. So yes, as Pastor Vanna said, my name is Hendrik. And Hendrik Besaidenhout, and I was here for 7 years. My wife and my kids are somewhere at Kids Church. She's supervising them there today, so I'm here on my own. And it was actually today, a year ago, we had our Convergence Conference, Shofar Convergence Conference. It's today, a year ago, that I heard the call from the Lord about Shofar Malmesbury. So it's actually pretty awesome that the Lord has given me the opportunity to preach here again. And I want to say thank you to this house. Pastor Andries, I don't see him. Thank you, Lisa. I love what you've done with the place. Sure. Wow. The inspo. It's amazing. It looks incredible. This looks awesome. And it just feels like home. Even though you've done some remodeling, it feels like home. And yeah. I just want to get all of that out of the way. So yes, I have been in Malmesbury. We actually did the calculation the other day, but it's been 10 months going to almost 11 months that we've lived there. It feels like yesterday. Some days it feels like I've been there for 2 years. But yes, we moved there in Jan and I started in the beginning of Feb. And it is awesome. It is incredible. This is probably the most English that I have spoken in the last 10 months. So it might run out somewhere along the line. Maar ek brei nog nie. Okay, for those of you that were wondering, ek brei nog nie. Okay, but yes, it's an absolute privilege to be here, and I'm very excited. Can I just pray for us again? Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that throughout this whole service, Since we entered into this place, Lord, we could feel your presence. We experience your love, your goodness, Lord. But more than anything, we know that you are the only one who is worthy to be called our Lord and Savior, Lord. You have preeminence in our lives, Lord. And we glorify your name. We pray, Lord, that as we come under your word this morning, that we will hear your word, your truth, Father. That you will come speak to each one of us. We pray, Lord, that you will open our ears and our hearts to receive from you, Father. That we will grow in you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just open this. Thank you, Mandri, for the slides. So my name should be a little bit lower, but it says, knowing Christ from hopelessness to hope. Amen. How's that for a title? Okay, you can give this message any title. It's knowing Christ, knowing Jesus, just as we worshiped him this morning. Man, this worship was so anointed. I really enjoyed this time in the Lord's presence. Today, I'm going to read this story out of Luke 24. It's the road to Emmaus. It's where Jesus meets the two men walking on the road to a little town called Emmaus, about 11.2 odd kilometers away from Jerusalem. I'm going to unpack it a little bit later, but for now, if you have your Bible here, you can open up at Luke 24. Otherwise, it will be there as well. For those of you that cannot read that far, bring your Bibles to church. It is a good thing. Luke 24 from verse 13. That very day, the two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other and about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And then he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at his tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village where they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on that road, while he opened those scriptures?" And they rose at the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon." They told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, this is one of my most favorite passages, parts in the Bible, in the scripture. I just love everything about this, and it was so awesome when Pastor Vanna prayed now during this time of ministry as well, how the Lord is on this road with us, and how some of us, we go off this road and he comes to get us, and this is such a profound story that explains that. And my message this morning is a message of hope. It's about knowing Jesus, seeing Jesus, and having eternal hope Now, I don't know about you, but we could all do with that. I can do with hope in my life. We have the story of these two men. We know that one's name is Cleopas and another one's name is Anonymous. We don't know. But scripture, some theologians, just Josephus is one of the old historians, actually. Sorry. He actually did some studies and he thinks that this was possibly Jesus's uncle, his father Joseph's brother, Cleopas. And they were on their way to this town called Emmaus. And Emmaus means place of hot springs, or there was hot water. And they did some studies as well. There were springs, fountains in the area that were medicinal and therapeutic. So people went to that place. And it was about 11.2 kilometers. And it was about, if you walk from here to Austin, where's the Austin people? Because you must stop. This is far Emmaus is from here, okay? Just by the way, Matilan charged me for my coffee, Werner. I thought you said it's free. Okay. So it's about 11.2 kilometers. These two guys are going. It's Sunday. It's just after the resurrection. And these guys are walking on this road. And they're having this conversation. And you can only imagine when they walked and this random guy behind them asked him, "What are you guys talking about?" Now, I've always asked myself, how would I react if I just walk with my friend on the road and someone just eavesdrop? We would probably run away or we would be offended or something. But these guys, they spoke to each other. So there's also just a lesson for free. It's not part of my sermon. Just listen to other people as well. But they were walking on this road. And if you calculate, it's about 2.5 to 3.5 hours if you go by foot for a normal person. If you walk with my wife, it will only be 1 hour to get there. But they were walking on this road. So just let's, for argument's sake today, say it's about a 3 hours walk that these guys were on from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Easter Sunday. And these guys were walking and then Jesus comes after or behind them and says, "What is this that you guys are talking about?" And they are explaining what has happened and they are in dismay. You can pick up the hopelessness, and that's the one of the, that's not the key word, but that's a word today. Hope is the key word. But they've got this attitude of hopelessness. Their hearts are in dismay. The outcome that they had for the Savior of their people to redeem them, to free them, it didn't play out the way that they expected. And they were walking and they were sharing these things with one another. And Jesus comes in and these guys, they don't recognize him at all. And he asks, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, and they are, "Where were you? Was jy onder 'n klip gewees die laaste week? Weet jy nie wat het gebeur nie? Do you not know what has happened in the last days concerning Jesus and who he was, the prophet, mighty in word and deed?" And they've seen things and they've experienced things. And they're like, "This guy doesn't know?" And then Jesus completely changes the atmosphere. He completely changes the conversation and he steers it to, "Let me tell you why this should have happened. Let me tell you exactly." And they have this encounter with him on that road. And we know something changed because they invite him to stay with them. And the rest of the story, we're going to unpack it as we go. But the message today is a message from hopelessness to hope. By seeing Jesus, who he really is the truth of who he is and what he has done for each one of us in our lives. Today, in today's day and age, there are so many things that can distract us, that can pull us away from focusing on him. I mean, I've been gone 9 months and we almost had now I forget the English word there. My English ran out already. First service. We almost had a rapture. Okay. So, sorry, sensitive subject. But there are so many things that can happen in such a short time that makes us think that, man, things did not pan out the way that I planned it. And it can put us in a state of hopelessness and we can be on this road and we can walk with our heads low, with no hope, just going from A to B. But Jesus steps onto the scene and things change. And when we speak about this road to hope, the road to hope starts with Jesus. The road to hope starts with Jesus. We read from verse 15. It says, "While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, earlier in Luke, if you read the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9 and 18 as well, Jesus explains to the disciples of his coming death and the resurrection, but they do not understand it fully. They do not comprehend what he is talking about. And we know from Scripture that the Lord causes them, they do not understand. God, we see here that God shows them, he keeps their eyes from seeing the complete truth because they are not ready. They don't understand it fully. But for us to understand fully who the Christ is and what he has done and what his death and resurrection meant for us, walk out the road fully with him. So the road starts with walking with Jesus. Jesus needed to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. You see, the Lord's plan for each one of us would never really make sense for us if we do not walk it out. Some of us, many of us, I myself, I think many times have just stopped short of the light, just stopped short of seeing the change because of hopelessness. But the wonderful thing is the Lord comes and he meets us on this road and he picks us up and he speaks to us. He reveals his truth to us. And we, all of a sudden, we have hope and we continue to walk. And guess what? We get through that thing that we need to get through. We grow stronger. The outcome doesn't necessarily look the way that we expect it to look. But it's so much better because his plans are better than our plans. Amen? His plans, his ways are higher than our plans. What is the Lord busy revealing to you in your life? Do we walk hopelessly because we do not see the full picture in our lives yet? The Lord is busy showing us all something. But this road to hope starts with Jesus. We have to start walking with him. And you know the wonderful thing about walking with Jesus? Is that he wants to walk this road with you. He wants to walk this road with you. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. He is in this for each one of you. He does not want us to be on our own. He does not want us to be hopeless. Luke 24 from verse 17. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" As they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him and said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know these things? Where were you?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people." They knew who he was. They experienced his truth. They experienced the revelation to some extent that this is not a mere man. They had this expectation, this hope that things are going to be better. Things are going to be different. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Our own people, our leaders, our government. We cannot fully comprehend how these guys must have felt, but to some extent, we've all been let down by leaders, by government. And the expectation that we want is not the one that we get. How they sentenced him to death and they crucified him, condemned him to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem? Were you under a rock? Now, the theologian and famous author, R.C. Sproul, he has amazing teaching on this, and he says Jesus could have probably answered them in this way. He could have probably told them when they asked him, "Are you new here, or where were you?" He could have probably said, "Well, you know what? On Thursday, I had supper with my friends, and we enjoyed it. It was a lovely supper, and after that, I went into the darkness, and you know what? I fell on my knees in the garden, and I prayed, and I was so filled with anxiousness and fear to some extent that I sweat. Blood came out of my sweat. And you know what? Quite after that, one of my 12 best friends, one of them betrayed me for 30 pieces of silver, and they arrested me. And then I was passed from the one council to the other ruler to the other council, and they beat me, and they tortured me, and they flogged me." He could have gone on and answered him in that way. He could have in detail told them the whole story of what had happened. But Jesus says, what things? He wants to hear their hearts. He wants them to explain it to him. He wants to see what is going on inside of them. He had a specific meeting with these guys because this is Jesus. I mean, he knows better than anyone what had happened. He was the main character. But he asked them what things. He had a specific meeting, just as the Lord has a specific meeting with each one of us in this place. You are not here today merely to tick your religious Sunday box and say, feel good, I've come to church. And now I can carry on with my life. The Lord has a meeting with each one of us in this place. Just like he had with these guys. James writes in James 4, verse 8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then two verses on in verse 10, he says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. Yes, we sang this morning, who else is worthy? There is no one. There is no one. Man, I felt so close. I feel so close to the Lord. In this moment, as we worship together, his word tells us when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. The Lord wants us to open our hearts to him, to explain to him where we are at, how we feel, to draw near to him. He speaks to us because he is with us on this road. And he rewards those who seek him diligently, as the word tells us. It's in times in my life of deep vulnerability, times where I went through hardships and turmoil, where I laid it all bare before the Lord, where I came to him on my knees, asking for wisdom, asking for his grace and his mercy, asking for his guidance. It's in those profound moments where I broke down before him, where I felt his presence like never before. Just like David said, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, these are the things that the Lord desires. He wants us to come to him in our times of hopelessness, because when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Speak to the Lord. What is keeping you in a place of hopelessness? And you know what? We can trust him, because Jesus knows the road to hope better than any one of us. Jesus knows the road better. He knows the way. He is the way. He is the way. From verse 25 it says, and he said to them, O foolish ones. Completely the atmosphere changes. O foolish ones and slow to heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus all of a sudden rebukes their doubt and their unbelief. He says, how can you be this way? But the amazing thing is Jesus comes and he meets us where we are at. And yes, sometimes he challenges us. And just as the word came again, we need to allow him to do these things. Because right after that, the Lord doesn't just chastise us and leaves us. He wants us to grow from what we are going through, from the things that we are experiencing. And he tells us, and he tells these guys, he comes to them and it says, starting with Moses and the prophets, he explains the scriptures. He interpreted it to them, all the things concerning himself. Now, this is 3 hours. Now, I don't know how long the introduction part was. So let's say 2.5 hours maybe. Jesus opens up the whole Old Testament. He had the scriptures. They were there. He knew the writings. These guys knew the writings. And Jesus starts interpreting scripture to them. He could interpret scripture. You can put that slide up. Genesis 3. You could have used these scriptures. The Bible doesn't tell us he uses these scriptures, but he could have. So just walk with me. Bear with me. That's my alarm saying I must start winding it down. So he could have shared scriptures like Genesis 3 verse 21 where it says, Adam and Eve, they were covered with the skin of an animal, the first sacrifice, because they were naked and ashamed. Jesus could have said, you know what? Adam and Eve, they were covered with the first sacrifice, the animal skin, but it was not good enough. I am the perfect sacrifice. I cover your shame and your iniquity permanently. He could have told them that. Or he could have told them scripture like Genesis 28, where Jacob had this dream of this ladder or this stairwell coming from heaven. Now Jesus could have said, you know what? That scripture that you read about Jacob, the ladder, I am that mediator. Or Christ, the reason he suffered, he's the mediator between God and man. He is the way. That scripture is the prophecy fulfilled. He could have shared about Noah. He could have shared about the Israelites going through the water and the flood. He could have shared like how salvation and baptism go hand in hand with Jesus' death and resurrection, how we are washed clean, how our old self dies and the new self rises, how there is new life in him. He could have shared that to them. Jesus expounds these scriptures to them. And it continues. He goes on. He could have shared about the prophets. It says he shared about the prophets. Now, if you go to that one scripture there, the next slide, it's very small. It's much smaller here than it was on my laptop. I apologize. But if you go read Isaiah 52 and 53, do not worry about what is there. I will read it for you. But Isaiah 52 and 53 give so many prophecies fulfilled by Christ's crucifixion. He will be exalted. He will be disfigured by suffering. He will be widely rejected. He will bear our sins and sorrows. He will make a blood atonement. He will be our substitute. He will voluntarily accept our guilt and our punishment. He will be buried in a rich man's tomb. He will justify man from their sins. He will die with transgressors. He could have expounded the prophet Isaiah to these guys and say, this is what happened 3 days ago. This is exactly what happened. Why are you hopeless? And scripture says, starting with Moses and the prophets, he explained these scriptures. So, he could have even possibly gone to the Psalms. You can put that next slide up there. There's nothing there. Okay. It's fine. There's a whole thing there with Psalms. It was there. Imagine it's there. Okay. If you go through the Psalms, I will share my slides with Werner, and if you want it, you can get it from him. If you go read the Psalms, throughout the whole Psalms, there are so many Psalms that refer to Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. So many. Don't worry about it, guys. It's fine. Jesus could have referred to any one of those. In 2.5 hours, Jesus explains the scriptures to these guys in such a way that we know something changed, because what? All of a sudden, when they get to this place, they invite him to come with. You see, this was 2,000 years of prophetic preparation for a time such as now. Such as now, and all of a sudden these things became real to these guys. Their spiritual dullness was because of the fact that they did not understand how Scripture conveyed the necessity of Christ's death and suffering. They did not fully comprehend it. But Jesus himself made it alive to them. They had Christ, the Messiah, there with him. Not yet fully recognizing him, but they knew everything that had happened needed to happen. Jesus made these words alive to them. And then he opens their hearts through his word. Together these guys walked with Jesus on the road. But he was the one leading the way. He was the one showing them the way. I'm going to start finishing off now. Luke 24 continues from verse 28 to 34. It says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. What a profound piece of scripture. What a profound one-liner. If there are any powerful one-liners, there are many in scripture. And don't just use one-liners, but this one. It says, where's that scripture now? The one, there we go. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It's very interesting how that part starts, where Jesus said he acted. Scripture tells us he acted as if he was going farther. Again, that gives us an indication that he is relational, that he is alive, that he loves us, that he cares for us. Because why? He wants to see what we're going to do with His truth. He gives us the truth. We have His truth. We get to know Him. We understand it. But now Jesus gives us a choice. Just like we read in Deuteronomy, it says, I've given you life and death. Choose life. God tells Moses this. We still need to make the choice. We still need to choose Him. And Jesus does that. He acted as if He was going farther. Imagine these guys just said, chose Jesus. I don't know what would have happened. Missed opportunity. Something happened, but the road was not complete. No. Come, dine with us. Come dine with us, Jesus. You see, it was only when He blessed and broke the bread that their eyes were opened. Jesus presented them with the truth. They heard the truth. He opened it. They understood it. But it's only when we commune with Him, when we break bread, when we have fellowship with Christ, that we see Him and truly see Him, and that our hearts and our lives are changed forever, that we have hope. They see Jesus and they see immediately in that breaking, yes, it's our Messiah. Yes, it's our Savior. This is the one. This is the one. If you speak about revelation, that is the revelation. That is the revelation. The bread of life. The one whose body broke for our sins on that cross. It's Him. It's Him. And we know something changed because they ran back from Austin to Hermanus. They ran back from Emmaus. Well, we don't know they ran, but I'm sure they walked faster. They said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while He talked to us on this road? And He opened up the Scriptures. Jesus reveals the truth of His Word. He gives it to us. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But we still need to make a choice. We can't just be hearers of the Word. We can't just hear the Word, receive what the word that you are getting from whoever is standing up here, the Word that you get from the Lord. You need to be doers of the Word. We need to take it. We need to commune with Jesus. We need to spend time with Him. We need to invite Him in to our lives if we truly want to see change in our lives, if we want to have hope, hope that will not be put to shame. It's only through Jesus, communion with Him, that our eyes and our hearts are open and that we are changed. Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 18, Paul writes to the church and he says this powerful, profound thing. He says that the God, this is a thanksgiving and exhortation prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which He called you. What are the riches and the glorious inheritance in the saints? It's very difficult to only read one part of that scripture. You have to go read the whole thing. I just had to take this one part. But Paul writes there and he says that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, His Holy Spirit, will open our hearts and our minds, enlighten us that way we may know the hope which He has called us to. These guys had Jesus Himself there. But then He vanished. But who do we have now? We have Jesus inside of us. We have His Holy Spirit inside of us. We have His Word. We have His Word with us. We have the truth. His Holy Spirit, it's Him. It opens His truth to us. Jesus reveals His truth to us to this day still because He is alive. So that we can see Him and behold Him, but we need to commune with Him. We need to give our lives to Him. Lay our lives down with Him. Be vulnerable with Him. Break bread with Him. Be real with Him. Allow Him in to our lives in order to have that eternal hope, that lasting hope. Emmaus means a place of hot springs, a place of springs, what was medicinal and therapeutic, but here we see spiritual healing. Here we see it's a place where spiritual healing and enlightenment, eyes are opened. Spiritual hearts and minds are opened and heal. His desire for us is not just to know Him, but to walk with Him and commune with Him. Church, I'm going to ask that we stand. And as we stand, let's just remain prayerful, maybe for a few moments. Just close your eyes and draw near to the Lord and ask Him. Ask Him. Where am I on this road now, Lord? Where am I on this road now? Maybe you in the beginning, you had that place of hopelessness. Things didn't pan out the way you wanted. Maybe things didn't go as planned. We are still here. The rapture did not happen. Lord, I'm not seeing that change in my family. Lord, I'm not seeing that change in my marriage. Lord, I'm not seeing that change in my children. Father, I'm not seeing that change in me. Two, 300 different people odd in this room, all different stages, places. Don't compare yourself to the person next to you, behind you, beside you. You walk this road alone with the Lord. Alone in the sense that you have to make the choice. You are not alone as a brother. There are brothers and sisters in Christ around you. But what I mean is you need to make a choice. You need to allow His Holy Spirit to expound His Word so that you can see Him. So that you can see everything points to Him. Who else is worthy? There is no one. There is no one. 1 Peter writes, blessed be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If we put our hope in man, we are going to be disappointed. But if we put our hope in Christ, we have a living and eternal hope that belongs to us all, that is imperishable, that is undefiled, unfading, and that is guarded by God Himself. We simply need to put our faith and trust in Jesus. This morning, if you have never done that in your life, if you have never put your complete faith and trust in Jesus, you have never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just quickly raise your hands. The eyes are closed. You're not on the spot here. I just want to see you. The Lord knows who you are. But this is something for you. You need to make that choice. You need to say, Lord, come with us. It's almost night. Come in. You need to make that choice. If that is you, put your hand up. Not for me, for Jesus. And receive that eternal hope. And if you're here this morning and you're at a place of hopelessness, or you're at a place where things did not go according to the way you wanted, according to plan. And you say, Lord, I need You. I need You. Come dine with me. Come in, Lord Jesus. If that is you this morning and you need that hope again restored, renewed in your life, put your hand up. Not for me, but for Jesus. Thank You, Father, for these hands. Let's all respond in our hearts. But as a prophetic act, put your hands up and receive the truth of who Jesus is. Behold Him this morning. See Him. Bring your heart before Him. Allow His Spirit to let your heart burn, so that His truth can be revealed. So that you will behold Him. So that you will walk with hope again. Feel your hope restored this morning. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. See Him walking with you. Hear His voice calling you out. Speak to Him. Listen to Him. And follow Him. Follow Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, for your precious blood that was spilled. For Your beautiful body that was broken. Father, You are the perfect sacrifice. You covered our sin and shame once and for all. You are the perfect mediator. You are the way between us and God. You have made the way for us possible. And this morning, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, we ask that You will just bring that truth back into our hearts, that it will burn in us, that we will know we cannot do this life without You. We need You, Jesus. We need You. In a world so dark, in a world so tainted by sin, in a world that advertises and proclaims hopelessness, we have an eternal hope within us, with Your Spirit, through Your Spirit. Thank you for your gift of your precious word to guide us. Thank you, Lord, that nothing we face is ever too big or impossible for you to overcome. We glorify your holy name this morning and we say, Father, we want to know you. We want to see you. There is no one else. Who else is worthy? There is no one. There is no one but you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You are excused. I don't know if Pastor Werner wants to say anything, but I think coffee is still served outside. You can put your name in the Connect book at the back if you need any questions.